Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC, and we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our Bible study and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. So if you would like to join us, our call-in number is 319-527-6204. You can call in your prayer request also at that same number. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come in. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is worth.
You're listening to
my soul forever. in me. When I'm in trouble, when I'm sick,
Jesus,
you see, he touched my body,
sustaining me,
and I can feel a mile of me.
And no matter,
no matter what the
time,
his blood, his
it
blood
always brings me.
Somebody gotta cry out, Jesus,
sustain.
Sometimes you gotta call him
Jesus.
You gotta call on him.
Sustaining me.
My Lord.
Sustains me
late in the midnight hour.
Sustaining me
when I can't sleep at night.
Sustains me
trouble.
God is sustaining
trouble on the night.
Jesus sustains me.
Sometimes you freeze.
Amen. Praise be to God. You are listening to Pray One for another sweet hour of prayer. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. And that we are here every day, Tuesdays through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. for taking prayer requests. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own First Lady will come with our lesson this evening in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So you are freely to join us if you wish to give your thoughts and comments on what the writer is saying. Amen. So at this time, I will play another selection while we are waiting. And this will be by Hezekiah Walker. Every praise.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise
give praise. It's to our God.
Every word of worship.
With one accord. Come on, say every praise.
Every praise.
It's to our God.
Every praise.
Every praise.
and is able. The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our God is able, amen. He's able. Hallelujah. Come to let you know that my God is able, able to set you free. Yes, my God is able. Yeah. Oh, I come to let you know. Oh, that my God is. Yes, he is able to heal you now, yes. Yes, my God is able. I think you don't know. I said, I come to let you know that the God I have found, he is able, yes. My God is able. Yes, I know he's able to heal you now, to heal you now, yeah. Oh, my God is able. Sing unto them, heaven. I came to let you know that my God is able, yeah. Set you free. Yes, my God is able. I came to let you know tonight, in spite of what you're going through, that my God is able. Able to set you free. Oh, yes, my God. Came to let you know. Whatever you're going through tonight, just remember, my God is able.
That my God is able, able to. Yes, my God is able. I come to let you know. You see, I'm trying to for myself, and I know that He's able to heal you now. Yes, my God. I don't know what you're going through, but let me tell you a little bit about what I've been through, yeah. See, I've been homeless, yeah. Didn't know where I was gonna rest my head, but God is bigger. So I come to let you know tonight, there's nothing impossible.
Look at your neighbor, tell him he's able.
Able.
Come on, say he's able.
Able.
He's able.
Able.
Say able.
Able.
Say able.
Able.
Say able.
Able.
Say able.
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 Oh, able.
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 Able. No matter what you're bound with, drugs, sex, whatever it might be, God has the power to break you loose. And is able to come into your marriage and set you free. Is able to come into your life and deliver you. Whatever the problem might be, my God is able. Oh, why don't you just give him a try? Reach out to the Lord. Call on his name. Cause he's able. Cause he's able. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God is able. Able to release you. Able to set you free. Able to heal you, yeah. Able to deliver you. Able to rescue you. Able to hold you up. Able to bring you out of whatever storm you might be going through. He is able to provide, yeah. He is able to make way out of no way. God, I make something out of nothing. Hallelujah, he's the creator of the heaven and the earth. My God is able, yes he is. Yes he is. Oh, I know, I know. I come to let you know that my God is able. Oh, come on, somebody worship the Lord. Somebody bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah, hallelujah, he is worthy. Oh, somebody give him praise, somebody give him glory, give him worship. We worship you, Lord, we bless you, Lord, hallelujah. Oh, there is none like you, Lord. Oh, we give you praise, we give you glory, Lord. Oh, come on, praise him because he's able. I said praise him because he's able. Praise him because he's able. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we worship you. You able, Lord. You able, Lord.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Messiah.
Your shoes off, for you're standing on holy ground. Bow down, don't make a sound. Hear the voice of Yahweh.
When you enter the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. So
for he's a jealous God. Bow down to the great I am, for he's a holy God.
Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. So
we
to the stage, my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir, and you have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there? Here we go, y'all.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Evangelist Hilda, and you're listening to Pray One for Another, 626-213-5681. And call in your prayer request, for my God is truly able.
Amen. Praise God. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, I will play a selection while we are waiting on our speaker for this evening. Oh, okay. Our speaker is here. Praise God. So we are going to welcome our speaker, our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins. And so, listen, sis, y'all got to be quiet. Amen. And we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise, because she's going to come with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Amen.
Hi, good evening, everybody.
Evening, how are you? Well, no one, our panel has not arrived yet.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, so I'll go. I'll pray us in.
Amen.
Our Father, our God, Lord God, we love you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to save us, Lord God. Lord God, if there's anything that's among us, Lord God, anything that's in our hearts, Lord God, that is not pleasing to you, Lord God, please remove it. Lord God, we welcome you into this class, Lord God. I pray that those who have an ear to hear will hear and understand this lesson, Lord God. I pray that you give me, Lord God, the
Amen.
Words, Lord God, that I need to be able to say, Lord God, to do this lesson, Lord God. We pray that what comes out of this lesson, Lord God, will be something that we will definitely use in our lives, Lord God, so that we can be obedient to you, Lord God, and
yes.
and we know what it is that you expect of us, Lord God, as we go through these lessons. Lord, I bless everyone who's here, Lord God, and anyone who is trying to come, Lord God, who's not here, Lord God. Please put your loving arms around them, Lord God, also. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Jake. How are you this evening?
Amen. I'm good. I'm good.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get started. We have Micah. Hopefully, everybody read the chapter, the seventh chapter of Micah. But before we go on, I'm going to go back and read the verse that our homework was about. Well, it wasn't a verse, it was a sentence, it was the last sentence. And it says that this book emphasizes the integral relationship between true spirituality and social ethics. We see in chapter 6, verse 8, it summarizes what God wanted to see in his people. And it says, he has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does Yahweh ask from you? But to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. So it summarizes what God wanted to see in his people. He wanted to see justice and equity, equity tempered with mercy and compassion as a result of a humble and obedient relationship with him. And so our homework assignment was to define equity and equality. So would anybody like to talk?
Which one? Do we choose which one to start with?
Well, let's start with equity. Oh, you can, yeah. Define equity.
Okay, well, conformity with rules or standards.
Equity?
Equity, that's one thing. Let's see. Equality of rights, natural justice.
Mm-hmm.
Or right to giving or desiring to give to each man mm-hmm. his due according to reason.
Mm-hmm.
Fairness in determination of conflicting claims impartially.
Thank you.
Yeah, pretty
Hilda,
good.
You have
justice
to
justice and equity. You know, justice and the value of property, less debt. That's what I got. And the other
one. So that
one,
was one of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
the other one?
The other one, how you pronounce that? Equality? Equality?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Equality.
I have is. It's typically defined as treating everyone the same and giving everyone access to the same opportunities.
So which one of these is, I saw a picture. It was a picture. Actually, it was a picture it was an image. And the image showed two kids trying to look over a wall to see a baseball game,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is how they describe the difference between equity and equality. Let me just go on to say that. So they have two kids trying to look up. One of the kids was very short, and one of the kids was very tall.
Yes.
So, but they both had the same equal size box to stand on.
Right.
What do you think happened?
The way that they had the boxes situated, I think the short one, he had the box like two and then one. And then
wait a minute. Equality
is that they both had the same boxes. Equity.
So each box was
that,
the same size.
Right. That's equality.
Right.
Each box was
right.
the same size. And if each box is the same size and one person is short and the other person is tall, what happens?
They're not equal.
Right. And the short person still couldn't see over
right.
the fence.
Right.
Because they had equal boxes. But this is why
right.
God talks about equity. Because equity is, imagine, equity would be the tall person with one size box and the short person with a bigger box, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we consider fairness, so that both of them can see over the wall.
Mm.
Can you picture that in your head?
So you're saying
so
that
when you
they should have gave both of them or they should have picked both of them as the same height?
No, that's not what it is. Equity
okay.
is, when we talk about equity, equity is giving people what they need. I may need little, and you may need more than me. And that's how God views, that's what it says, justice and equity. Because equality is not always fair.
Right, right.
So if I have a whole lot of food and you have a little bit of food and somebody gave us the same amount of food,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't help me because I'm still below you.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I'm still below you. So if somebody has a lot of food, right, they probably don't need the food. But the person who doesn't have any food needs more food than the person who doesn't have it. You see what I'm saying? Or even
yes.
when you talk about clothes or anything, you know, equity is that's what we talk about being fair, the quality of being fair and impartial, fairness. And that's
mm-hmm.
what God is. God is fair. He's fair. You know, it's justice and he's fair. He will give you what you need.
Right.
Not equality, because
mm-hmm.
equality may not even help you. So this is why this verse says, justice and equity tempered with mercy. Justice and equity tempered with mercy and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's as a result of being humble and obedient relationship to him. So a lot of times we think, oh, well, we want equal. You know, we want equality. But equality doesn't work for someone who has nothing, right? They may need more to get to where you are.
Mm. And may I interject
that
something?
Makes...
Good evening to everybody.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
Four.
Yeah.
Hey. Equity is also considered a level playing field. They talk about that a lot in education, where you have children coming from students, period, coming from a different
mm-hmm.
background, and they don't have the advantage of having things that people with a more privileged background
perfect
have.
Example.
So they're not
perfect.
On the
perfect
same
example.
Level. That's why they
mm-hmm.
talk about make it a level playing field, that we're all equal, have the same access to resources that
mm-hmm.
the other privileged as well as the underprivileged. So
exactly.
I just want to also.
That's a perfect example. That is an
yes,
absolutely
ma'am.
Perfect example, so that we're people on the same level. You know, you have the same feel that it's fair, you know, I mean, because you know, there's a lot of things that exams. I remember when they first had the fireman exam, and you know the way that there was a program or something that I went to, and they were saying that the way that the fireman exam was given, and the same thing, like a lot of these standard examinations. Is that, you know, they give you examples of things that other people may have never experienced, and somebody else has experienced. So that's not playing on a fair ground, because if I've never experienced that, you know, here's an example. My daughter, when she was in the Girl Scouts, they gave a, and it's really, I remember this so much because I felt kind of badly about it, and I decided to do something about it. But they gave the Girl Scouts a little exam, and she was in a multicultural Girl Scout. Okay, it was white, rich, you know. And they had an exam of all of the monuments, all of the major national parks and monuments on the exam. It wasn't a little exam, but say like it was a little test. And the kids were saying, "Oh, that's the, you know, that's the bell, and that's, you know, the Lincoln Memorial, and you know, they and I'm sitting there looking at my child because I had not. She didn't know, you know, any of. She knew the Statue of Liberty because that's right here, and I felt like, you know, and it was actually most of the black kids that was there did not know those national monuments.
Right.
So based on that, I made it my business. A friend of mine, we were like, we're going to take our kids to every single one of these places, right. You know, because, and that's only because we were able to do that. Poor people are not able to do that. And that's what we're talking about, not playing on a level, on a field that's comparable to everyone, you know. And so when God talks about equity, God is fair. God will give us what we need. We know that. God gives us what we need, you know, and that's why we can, you know, he's such a loving God. He knows exactly what each and every one of us needs. And that's what he will provide for us. Because what I need may not be what you need. And God knows that. So when he talks about equity and tempered with mercy and compassion as a result of a humble, obedient relationship with him, that's what God wants to see in us, you know, that we treat people that way based on their needs. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. We can move. Sister Barbara?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. There's one other thing one other thing. Did you want to say more about your homework assignment?
Well, I didn't read mine. I mean, do you want to hear it?
Oh, right ahead. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't hear a part of Hilda's. I didn't hear Jacob. Did he read his?
He did his.
Yeah, it is mine. Yours will be better.
You read yours. I have one. I'll read mine too. I'll read mine last. Go ahead.
Okay. What is the homework, equity versus equality? What is the difference between the two? And it says, although both promote fairness, equality achieves this through treating everyone the same regardless of need, while equity achieves this through treating people differently dependent on need. So equality is defined as the condition of being equal or the same quality, measure, esteem, or value when men and women are both viewed as being just as smart and capable as each other. This is an example of equality of the sexes, when both sexes are considered to be, you know, of the same intelligence as the other. Equality is about ensuring that every individual has an equal opportunity to make the most of their lives and talent. Equality has become synonymous with leveling the playing field, so let us make equity synonymous with more for those who need it. That's what I wrote.
Amen. And I just want to add to it is that, you know, equality, and like you said, like equity, equality aims to promise fairness and justice only work if everyone starts from the same place, needs the same thing. So equality has its pluses, but equality only works if everyone is starting on the same playing field.
Same playing field.
I just want to say, you know, there was I have here, there were two definitions of equity, and Hilda had touched on one. So you have in the finance department, you have equity of a home, which is the difference between, you know, what you owe on your mortgage and what your home is currently worth. So that's a different form of equity. And when you talk of financial, equity is the ownership, the asset, after the liabilities, after take away your debt from it. Whatever's left over is considered equity in finance. Then, of course, the other definition of equity is quality of being fair and impartial. And, of course, equality is about ensuring that every individual has an equal opportunity to make the most of their lives and talents. So that. Okay. Thank you very much for that. Now we're going
I just want to say that it also gives you Bible scriptures on that also, those two words.
Equity?
Yeah. Both of them.
Yeah, let's hear it.
The scriptures? Well, I can't read all of them. It's 13 of them.
Well, just read one or two. Read one for equity and one for equality.
Okay. The first one will be Psalms 99:4.
That's an example of, 99:4 is an example of equity or equality.
Yes.
Which one?
99. Let me get to it. Then I can tell you which one it is.
Oh, okay.
99:4 says, Mighty King, lover of justice. You have established fairness. You have acted with justice, the righteousness throughout Israel. That's 99:4.
Yeah, that sounds
and
like
that's
equity.
Equity.
Justice.
Right.
Yeah, that sounds like equity.
And
uh-huh.
The next one will be 2 Samuel 8:15. Judge Kings. If somebody has it.
Is it 2 Samuel 8?
Yeah, 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 15.
Ooh, thank you for bringing scripture in, assistant pastor, with the scriptures to go along with it. That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
2 Samuel.
Chapter 8, what? Verse 15.
Okay, 8:15. All right, read it. Then you guys tell me if it's equity or equality. 8:15. Okay, 8:15 says, David reigned over Israel. David executed judgment and justice to all his people.
Mm-hmm. And that is...
That's it?
That's
what
did
Hilda say?
So David reigned over all of Israel and did what was just and right for all his people. Yeah, I think that is... what do you call it? Equality? Yes. Is it? Let me see. Equality, opportunities. Equality.
I think so. Because it sounds like you just gave everybody the same thing.
Right.
You gave everybody.
Yeah.
But it
thing.
Says what was, it was saying what is just and right.
That right, that's like what equity
talked about Justin Wright, but judgment to all, and justice unto all people. Bill Bobby can be bold.
Just, I mean, just a few scriptures on
those
two words.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
No problem.
So we'll move on to chapter 6 and 7. We're still looking at the these are the key chapters in Micah. And after 6 and 7, it says the closing section, Micah, describes a courtroom scene. God has a controversy against his people. He calls the mountains and the hills together, form the jury. He sets forth the case. People have replaced heartfelt worship with ritual, thinking that this is all God's demand. They have divorced God's standards of justice in their daily dealings in order to cover their scrupulous practices. They have failed to realize the Lord requires of man. There can only be one verdict. Guilty. Nevertheless, book closes on a note of hope, always hope from the Lord. Same God who executes judgment also delights to extend mercy. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Who is a God like you? Pardoning inequities and passing over the transgressions, the remnants of his heritage. And if somebody can get, Jacob, you can get 7 and 18. And, no, read 7 and 7 and then read 7 and 18.
Okay, sorry, there's a car alarm laying outside
the
window.
Wait, hold it. Okay. Hear what I said?
I think you said chapter 7, verse 18.
Then verse 7, verse 7.
Okay. 7, verse 18, and then you said, I'm sorry, I'm getting sensory overload.
Just read 7 and 18 first.
Okay. Who is God like you, who pardons wrongdoing and passes over a rebellious act of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy.
And then it says, no wonder the prophet exclaims, you can read 7 and 7,
and 7. But as for me, I will be on the watch for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me.
Yes. So this is the reason why this prophet, Micah, claims this. Because of God's love, his mercy, how he delights in mercy. Now, I'm going to give you, Hilda, could you take chapter 5, verse 2? Don't read it yet. Sister Barbara, take chapter 2, verse 5, 6. And Brother Jake, take chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. I'll tell you when to read it. Okay.
Okay.
Christ and Micah, one of the clearest and most important of all Old Testament prophecies. You, Bethlehem, Perez, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, out of you shall come forth to me, one to be the ruler to Israel. Going forth has been from of
hold everlasting. This prophecy about the birthplace and eternal and eternity of the Messiah was made 700 years of his birth. Chief priests and scribes paraphrase this verse in Matthew. So the verses paraphrases verse in Matthew when questioned about the birthplace of the Messiah. Micah offers some of the best Old Testament descriptions of the righteous reign of Christ over the whole world. So, Hilda, could you read your verse?
Chapter 5, verse 2 says, "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past."
Mm-hmm. Who are they talking about? Who is Micah referring to?
He was saying this ruler.
Well, who's talking? Yeah. Well, who's talking? Actually. This verse.
Jesus is talking.
Jesus is talking?
Where it said
Micah?
The ruler.
But who's talking? Not what it's about. Who's doing the talk?
Isn't Michael doing the talking?
Chapter 5?
Yeah, Michael talking, right? "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet the ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past." Yeah, it's Michael, however you pronounce it.
Micah.
Yeah, he's talking.
Yeah. Thank you. And
Barbara. Okay.
Is Micah 2:5-6. We see the chief priests and the scribes paraphrases this verse in Matthew. It's coming from Micah.
Okay, yeah, I was trying to see who was doing the talking in 5. Mine goes from 1 to 5. I'm going to pick it up where I think it does. "Our lives are ruined. Our homes and lands auctioned off. They take everything, leave us nothing. All are sold to the highest bidder. And there'll be no one to stand up for you. No one to speak for you before God and his jury. Don't preach, say the preachers. Don't preach such stuff. Nothing bad will happen to us. Talk like this to the family of Jacob? Does God lose his temper? Is this the way he acts? Isn't he on the side of good people? Doesn't he help those who help themselves?" That went through 7.
Ooh. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Then, so actually going back to verse 5:2, it looks like it's God talking. Because if you go back to the verses before, it's God that's saying this. It says,
might be saying it through Micah because Micah is a prophet, but that's God talking.
Right, because it says, "Arise." If you go back to 13, the verse before, it says, "Arise and tresh, O daughters of Zion, for I make thine horn iron. I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people,
and I will consecrate their gain to the Lord, substances unto Lord of the whole earth. And now gather thyself in troops, O daughters and troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Thou, Bethlehem, you know, so, I mean, he's prophesizing, but with the eyes, I feel like it's, you know, God speaking through Micah. We know him. I mean, he's a prophet. Mm-hmm. I speak through him anyway. Then, mm-hmm. Brother Jake, what do you have?
I have chapter 4, verse 1. And it will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and the people will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, so that he may teach us about his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For from Zion will go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he will judge between many peoples and render decisions for mighty, distant nations. Then they will beat their swords into plowshares. Oh, I love that. And their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift a sword against nation, and never again will they train for war.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, each of them will sit under his vine and under his fig tree with no one to make them afraid, because the mouth of the Lord of armies has spoken. Through all the peoples walk, each in the name of his God. For as for us, we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. On that day, declares the Lord, I will assemble those who limp and gather the scattered, those whom I have afflicted. I will make those who limp a remnant, and those who have strayed a mighty nation. And the Lord will reign over them on Mount Zion from now on and forever. As for you, tower of the flock, hill of the daughter of Zion, to you it will come. Yes, the former dominion will come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And then, with, you know, what we're looking at is the description of the righteous reign of Christ over the world, which Micah has, you know, offered some of the best Old Testament descriptions of the righteous reign of Christ over the whole world. And the last one is Micah 5, verse 4 and 5, that says, he will stand, shepherd his flock, the strength of Yahweh, the majesty of the name of Yahweh, his God, they will live. Now he will be great unto the ends of the earth. This one will be peace. For the Assyrians, he comes into our land. When he treads on our pen, we will raise up against him 7 shepherds and 8 leaders of men. Now, contribution to the Bible. Well, in some ways, Micah and Isaiah, Micah is a miniature Isaiah. Both prophets address the same people problems. We're going to compare. So that you take, compare Micah 1 and 2 to Isaiah 1 and 2. Brother Jake, you take Micah, the long one. You take Micah 8 and 9, compare it to Isaiah 10 and 2, and
Micah 8 and 9, compare it to what?
Isaiah 10 and 2.
And
Sister Barbara, you take Micah 4:1 and compare it to Micah chapter 2:2.
Isaiah 2:2.
I'll do Micah 5:2 and Isaiah 4:7-14. So everybody got there? Let's see how. We're going to compare. So, Hilda, read your two.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I can't find Micah 8:9.
Right? You said Micah
there's
1
no chapter.
And
2.
Only goes to 7.
Yeah.
Only goes to 7. What did I
so
tell
what's
you?
This? You said Micah 8:9, so I'm confused.
No.
Okay.
Isaiah 10:2.
Micah
10:2.
Micah 2 verses 8:9.
Oh, well, I was missing
Micah
the,
2.
Okay.
The 2.
8:9. Here to Isaiah 10:2.
Gotcha.
Read now. Gotcha.
Yes, Hilda.
Okay, Michael 1:2 says, attention.
You keep saying Michael. It's no L on Micah.
Okay, Micah. Thank you. How about if I just say Micaiah?
It's wrong.
That's not the same.
You said
it's
wrong.
A joke, Sister Barbara. It's a joke. Okay, Micah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Just leave the
L off. Can that go up? 1:2 says, attention, let all the people of the world listen. Let the earth and everything in it hear. The sovereign Lord is making accusations against you. The Lord speaks from his holy temple. Amen. And Isaiah 1:2. Isaiah. Is it Isaiah or Psalm?
Isaiah. Comparing, yeah. Comparing Micah and Isaiah.
Yeah. Give me a second. I'll be. Oh, here we go. Isaiah 1:2 says, listen, O heavens, pay attention. Earth, this is what the Lord says. The children I raised and cared for have rebelled against me. Amen.
So they're both basically saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay, Brother Dave.
Okay, Micah chapter 2, verses 8-9. Recently, my people have risen as an enemy. You strip the robe off the garment from unsuspecting passersby, from those returned from war. You evict the women of my people, each one from her pleasant house. From her children, you take my splendor forever. Compare that with Isaiah chapter 10, verse 2. So as to deprive the needy of justice and rob the poor among my people of their rights, so that widows may be their spoil and that they may plunder the orphans.
I also want you, when you're reading, to notice the difference between, there is a slight difference between Micah and Isaiah. It says that Micah focused on moral and social problems. Isaiah placed greater stress on world affairs and political concerns. You can see that in what you just read. Micah specifically focused on, you know, what you did to the women, right? And
right.
You see Isaiah is just like what you're doing to the people in general.
Right.
So, robbery of justice. So keep that in mind as you're reading your verses. Sister Barbara?
Micah 4:1 says, but when all is said and done, God's temple on the mountain, firmly fixed, will dominate all mountains, towering above surrounding hills. People will stream to it, and many nations set out for it, saying, come, let's climb God's mountain. Is that where it ends?
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah 2:2. Well, this goes from 1 to 5. It's climb God's mountain, same topic. The message Isaiah got regarding Judah and Jerusalem. There's a day coming when the mountain of God's house will be the mountain, solid, towering over all mountains. All nations will river toward it. People from all over set out for it. They'll say, come, let's climb God's mountain. Go to the house of the God of Jacob. He'll show us the way he works so we can live the way we're made. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Again. And I have 5:2, Micah. As, well, we read this before. And he will stand, this is Micah 5:4. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of Yahweh, majesty of the name of Yahweh, his God. They will live now, be great unto the ends of the earth, which I think we read that before, but the Isaiah 40:11 says, feed his flock like a shepherd, gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, will lead those who nurse. Says again, Micah focused on moral and social problems while Isaiah placed greater stress on world's affairs and political concerns. Quotes from Micah is, I'm going to read it, the 3:12 says, therefore, count of you, Zion, be plowed, the field, Jerusalem will be heaped rubble, the temple mount, a high place. Century later, Jeremiah is verses 26 and 18. Jeremiah, a century later, Jeremiah says, Micah, a Moreshite, prophesizing in the days of Zedekiah, king of Judah, he said to all the people of Judah, saying, thus says Yahweh of hosts, Zion will be plowed as a field. Jerusalem will become a heap of ruins. Mountains of the temple, high places of wood. Oh. Jeremiah is quoting to them the same thing, but this is a century concerning the coming destruction, Jerusalem, instrumental delivering Jeremiah from death. Micah also quoted the new held to get Matthew 2:5. I have to go back to this because I don't understand it. It says, so maybe we got to. It says, Jeremiah quotes this verse concerning the coming destruction of Jerusalem. what, and it was instrumental delivering Jeremiah death. How did Jeremiah deliver it from death?
What are you asking?
The sentence that I read said, quote from Micah, a century later in Jeremiah 6 and 18, concerning the coming destruction of Jerusalem, instrumental delivering Jeremiah from death. How Jeremiah delivered from death is the next, it's next homework assignment.
So how was Jeremiah delivered from death? And we're supposed to see that where, in Matthew or in Jeremiah or what?
It probably will be in Jeremiah. This quote at Jeremiah 26:18, I'm thinking that it'll be somewhere in that vicinity of chapter 26.
Okay. Because I know he was put into a court, and for whatever reason, he was freed.
I don't know exactly what that is.
A courtyard. So how was Jeremiah freed? What is this question?
Was Jeremiah delivered death?
Delivered from death?
So do you have it? Oh, Hilda?
Yes, I'm here. I just have what's on mute for a minute. You said, how was Jeremiah delivered from death?
Right.
Okay.
Actually, what it says, let me just read it, because it's not so much, it's not just delivered from death. It says, coming destruction, Jerusalem, instrumental delivering Jeremiah from death. How?
Read that one more time, please.
Coming destruction, Jerusalem. God's prediction or God's warning. Coming destruction, Jerusalem. Instrumental delivering Jeremiah from death.
Okay. You're going in and out sometimes, but okay. Thank you.
Do I need to repeat it again?
No, I got it. Thank you.
Do you have it?
Yeah. That's the homework assignment, right? How was Jeremiah delivered from death?
Jacob there?
Yeah.
Get the assignment.
How is Jeremiah delivered from death?
Okay, that should be fine.
Micah was also quoted in the New Testament. So, five and two, and Micah, we read 5 and 2. Mm-hmm. Micah, can you get Matthew 2:5-6, and Matthew 7:42. So Barbara, Matthew 10:34 and 36. Do to Micah. And okay,
or through?
So.
Is that and 34, or through?
Or through 6.
Through 36. Okay.
Matthew 10, 4, 36.
Okay,
thank
Matthew
you.
2, 5-6 says.
Let me read, well, hold it. Before you read that, let me read the Micah part. So we're comparing what Micah said, how it goes. So Micah 5 and 2 said, and we read this before, you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, small to be among the clans of Judah. You, one will go out for me, the ruler of Israel. The origins are from our old ancient days. Matthew 2 and 5.
Okay. Matthew 2 and 5 says, in Bethlehem and Judea and Judah, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote. Verse 6. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. Amen.
That's a quote from Micah.
Mm-hmm.
John 7 and 42.
That's me, right?
Let's the 7 and 42, Jake.
Good. Okay, you said Micah 7:42?
No, John.
John.
Wow. I knew I had a attention disorder, deficit disorder, but no idea it was that bad. All right. John.
This is. And I give you the scripture is best for you to look it up when I give it. So by the time I get to you, you already have it. Make sense.
Right. I'm just trying to write it down and type it in to my Bible Gateway. Okay. John chapter, you said 22?
7.
Sorry.
And chapter 7.
Yeah.
42.
Sorry. Has the scripture not said that the Christ comes from the descendants of David and from the Bethlehem, the village where David was?
Right. And what, you know what, this is, you know how we quote the verse from the Pharisees, said, what good has ever come out of
Bethlehem?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Nazareth.
Good
right.
has ever came out of Nazareth. Exactly. That's what the script,
Yeah.
Right. We know that there was a prophet that came from Nazareth. That was the previous prophet that we spoke of, Jonah, right? Jonah?
No, he didn't come from Nazareth. He came
from Nazareth.
Above Israel, they said Samaria, the northern part of Israel. My study said he came from Nineveh, but then we got some other information. But they didn't say he came from Nazareth.
He was from Nazareth. Heifer. South north of Nazareth. Lower Galilee. That's
north
where
of
he's
Nazareth.
From.
That's not in Nazareth. That's north of Nazareth.
North of Nazareth in the lower
Galilee.
Yeah,
it's not in it. Yeah, it's not
right.
in it.
So when I looked up, five prophets came out of Galilee, Jonah, Nahum, Hosea, Elijah, and Elisha. Jesus was born in Bethlehem and raised in Nazareth, which is in Galilee.
That's what they missed. This is
Nazareth,
what
the Pharisees
said. The Pharisees
assumed he was born
wrong.
In Galilee.
Hey, the Pharisees was wrong when they said, search and look, no prophet has risen out of Galilee. Was from Galilee. Was Heifer was in Galilee. So that's where Jonah was from, Galilee. We were, let me just read this last quote. Sister Barbara, you have which verse? You have Matthew. Okay, let me read 7:6. So this is what the comparison is. Son treats a father with contempt. Daughter rises up against her mother. Daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Enemies of a man are the men of his own house. Matthew 10:34-36.
Okay, mine goes from 32. Back on the road, they set out for Jerusalem. Jesus had a head start on them, and they were following, puzzled, and not just a little afraid. He took the 12 and began again to go over what to expect next. Listen to me carefully. We're on our way up to Jerusalem. When we get there, the Son of Man will be betrayed to the religious leaders and scholars. They will sentence him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Romans, who will mock and spit on him, give him the third degree, and kill him. After 3 days, he will rise again. And the topic of this one is the highest places of honor, 10:35. James and John, Zebedee's sons, came up to him. Teacher, we have something we want. We want you to do for us. What is it? I'll see what I can do. That was it.
Well, I don't think that was it. Matthew
10:34-36
says. Matthew 10:34-36.
Oh, stop.
See what it says.
I was at Mark. I was at Mark. Right. I called myself Mark.
Okay.
Pardon me. Ten thirty-four through thirty-six. Okay. Okay. And it starts at 34 through 37. Okay. Don't think I've come to make life cozy. I've come to cut, like a sharp knife cut, between son and father, daughter and mother, bride and mother-in-law. Cut through those cozy, pardon me, these cozy domestic arrangements and free you for God. Well-meaning family members can be your worst enemies. If you prefer father or mother over me, you don't deserve me. If you prefer son or daughter over me, you don't deserve me.
That's
37.
Yes. Yeah. So
sorry about that. I
called
slipped out.
Compared with other prophets, Micah's portion foretelling relative to foretelling high has much to say about the future of Israel. Advent, reign, Messiah. We're going to stop there because it's 8:02. All right, guys.
Amen.
So
we stop from the survey.
What's the homework assignment?
And the homework assignment was
to find out how was Jeremiah delivered from death.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dave, like to pray us out? And Sister Barbara, can you give us that beautiful benediction?
Amen.
Father God, we thank you for this fellowship suite. For as you said in your word, where two or more are gathered in your name, you are in the midst, and you were in the midst with us tonight. Bless us as we go forth. Shower us with your love. Shower us with your grace and your endless mercies, Lord. And watch over us as we sleep tonight and wake us up tomorrow with a fresh new view of life. And bless us with all blessings through the mighty name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
The benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, my God. Amen. That always brings tears to my eyes. I love that picture. And you read it so well, Sister Barbara.
It's like it's out of my soul.
God bless you. Thank you. Love you all. Don't get your homework.
You
class tomorrow, too. So
we don't have
right.
Tomorrow.
Thank you. Love you.
Yes, what'd you say? Love you, Jacob. What'd you say, Sister Hilda?
You didn't give us homework.
Yes, she did.
I didn't say I did.
Oh, you said, don't forget your homework tomorrow. We have class.
Let me double check, but I didn't give you homework for Wednesday.
No, you didn't.
But I don't think we did.
But I did some homework, and you know, just a clarification for myself. But
right.
No class homework. Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. What are we supposed to be reading for next week, Lady Nadine? We keep Micah or what? She gone?
No, she's still there.
Oh, well, I finished,
right?
Micah. If you haven't finished, then continue.
Yeah, we finished it. It's only seven chapters.
Right. You're not finished, Micah. There's nothing to read unless you want to go ahead and read our next prophet, but I didn't even get to him.
Oh,
now,
okay.
Next
so
week we're going to do
we
survey
continue
with
Micah next week.
Yeah,
okay. We continue with Micah next week.
Next week we
no
finish Micah because we just getting
God
to it.
Okay.
Oh, we got finished.
Huh?
Finish it next week?
Yeah. We're still in
Micah.
That's my problem is that when I say a word, I always, you know, mispronounce it or I'll say add a letter to it. I always add S's or whatever. But
oh, okay.
I know what I mean and what I'm talking about.
Okay.
All right,
everybody.
I love you.
Oh,
love
you guys.
Blessed.
See you tomorrow.
Stay safe.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah. Lord willing.
We're on Zoom tomorrow, right?
We're on Zoom tomorrow?
No, not you.
Oh, you're talking about rehearsal. That's at 5 p.m.
Oh, okay. Because I'm like, okay.
5 p.m.
I have a Zoom at
maybe closer to ish.
I have a Zoom at 8 o'clock, but I didn't think it was us. Okay, I gotcha.
Oh,
okay. Love you all.
Love you too. Have a good night, everybody. I will teach you gone.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Boy. Nadine don't. She always